Satnam, Sasha here, and welcome to Can I Get a Satnam, the podcast all about yoga philosophy and the yogi lifestyle. That's right, after over a year, I am back. I'm so excited to be here. In this past year, since my last episode, I experienced an entire pregnancy, gave birth to a magical baby, and am now 3 months postpartum and just like getting back into my creative groove, I would say. I recorded the birth story that you're going to hear a month ago. And yesterday I listened to it and I was like, should I re-record? I was like, no, let me just go with this version. It's interesting because as you'll hear, I was really still in a lot of healing when this episode was recorded. Now that I'm even a month past that, I can see a lot more progress. I feel a lot more steady and confident. And part of that has to do with getting back into my practices, doing daily meditations with the baby. She'll actually sit there for like 15 minutes first thing in the morning when we wake up. And she likes the mantras, so we just do that. We've been going out into the sun every day and just kind of getting into like nice, healthy lifestyle grooves that are working for me. When I was in the first 2 months postpartum, I struggled a lot. In my mind, there was a lot of replaying of the birth and, what could I have done differently? I was really kind of thinking about that. What could I have done differently? What could my birth team have done differently? So you'll hear a little bit of that when I tell the story. And, now I do really feel solid and much more healed. So if you're experiencing, honestly, any kind of physical recovery, give it time. I wish I could have told myself that more because I definitely stressed myself thinking, oh, why isn't everything, better already? And really, the time did heal so much of what I needed. And now I'm feeling pretty good. At the end of the episode, you'll also hear an invitation to a mermaid yoga retreat that I'll be co-hosting in February of 2023. So if you're interested in that, I'm happy to share more. Always down to connect with folks. You can email me at sashaislive@gmail.com or find me on Instagram at astrosasha. And let's get into this birth story. Here we go.
Sat Nam, Sasha here. I'm a yoga teacher, and you're listening to Can I Get a Sat Nam? Sat Nam means truth is my identity, and I'm here with the good word on yoga.
All right.
Let's get into it.
Coming to you now for the first time as somebody's mama, and I am super excited to be back. I've been processing and going through the after effects of my baby's birth for just over 2 months now. And, at first there were certain things I couldn't talk about without getting very emotional. It's definitely been a difficult healing and recovery for me. It's been more difficult than what I was expecting, which I'll share about a little. But, I think the biggest lesson to just kind of skip ahead is that I'm able to hold many thoughts about the same experience all at once. I know that it was a magical and powerful birth experience, and that there was trauma, that I experienced and that I'm healing from physically. And so all of those things can be true at once. So here's just going back to the beginning, and I'll share kind of how I managed my pregnancy and birth, especially from a yoga and meditation and ritual practice perspective. And yeah, let's go. So when I got pregnant, which was in July of 2021, or the very, very end of July, early August, I was taking part in this really amazing like goddess worship circle. And we would meet and learn about and commune with different goddess energies. So at the time, we were working with the Magdalene, and it was just right on time. There was this really strong, warm, sort of rosy, comforting energy around the whole experience, and just the prayers and meditations and practices that we were doing at the time were perfect for a super early pregnancy. I hadn't even taken a pregnancy test yet. I don't even think I had missed my period starting yet, but I just knew that something was different. And I've really felt this energy of an egg, like a red egg that was holding me, that was holding this little tiny speck of a new soul, and it was just very warm. I remember being in an acupuncture appointment, and I told my acupuncturist, I think I might be pregnant. I don't know, it's too early to know for sure, but I think I might be pregnant. And she was like, oh, is that something you want? Or do you want me to do the acupuncture that helps you not be pregnant? I was like, no, it's something I want. She's like, okay, cool. And during the session, just went on this whole journey to the point where when she came back in the room, I asked her, did you come in here? Like, were you holding my feet? They felt so warm. And she's like, no, you know, you've been in here by yourself this whole time. So it was just very magical early planting of the seeds. That gave me a lot of comfort and confidence to go into the pregnancy. One thing that definitely came up, and I'm sure a lot of folks experience this no matter what you're up to, is that there's so much information out there. So I tried to focus on myself and what I was feeling and experiencing and not go to too many sources. But of course, the internet is right there. And this is one of the Age of Aquarius themes, which I've talked about in this podcast, this idea of information overload and everybody's an expert. You really have to have a lot of discernment to not just drown in all this information. So that was a little bit tricky in the pregnancy, especially towards the end. I started just feeling nervous and desperate and like, let me hear more people's birth stories. I want to know what might happen or what other folks have experienced, which is helpful to a certain extent, but I think it went too far. So going back to the early days when I was much more calm and very grounded in the experience, I was able to have my prenatal care through a birth center as well as through a doctor, like a medical doctor. So for the first 20 weeks, which was exactly half of my pregnancy, I did both. And I was really, really happy to be part of the birth center and the midwife model of care because it's very holistic. And so those appointments would be an hour long. I would either go with my mom or my husband or even just by myself. And we would talk about, you know, not only the baby progressing and how I was doing physically, but would check in on nutrition and if I'm being hydrated enough. We would check in on like mental health and just really make sure that from all aspects I was taking as best care of possible of myself. With the doctor, which, you know, is where I would do the blood tests and different things, get ultrasounds, it was like 5-minute appointments. And he was like, okay, do you have any questions? Are you okay? And I would always just feel flustered and, you know, forget what I had wanted to ask about. And, you know, I actually learned through the whole process, I could have done all the medical blood tests and stuff at the birth center too, but it was cool to do the ultrasounds. I know some folks don't like exposing their baby to ultrasound, but mine seems fine. So I think it was worth it to be able to see her grow from a little tiny speck into a full formed baby. But when I did get to the 20-week mark, that doctor, I was kind of put off. He was like, oh, you're having a birth at a birth center? Well, what if things go wrong? And of course, that's something that you have to plan for, and there are contingency plans in place. But it was just, you know, the attitude and energy of it kind of made me switch over completely to the midwives. The birth center did for sure help in other ways too. I was part of a group therapy group that met for 10 weeks, and the people in that group have become some of my really good new friends now as a mom. And during the group itself, I was still pregnant, as well as two other folks in the group. Everybody else already had their babies. They would either bring their babies or they would come on their own. And everyone just shared about, you know, what they were up to and kind of highs and lows with their partners and their families and their in-laws and finances and just all the things that were going on. And it gave me a lot of exposure to how to take care of myself and a baby, because I saw it in real time and I was like, oh, that's how you keep your baby, you know, calm and content for an hour and a half. And that's how you change them quickly without a huge amount of space. And that's how often you feed them. You know, everyone would just be breastfeeding throughout the whole sessions at different times. All of that was extremely valuable because, again, like I said, we're in this age of information overload. Just to read things online, or even worse, social media, and see all this advice out there, it was just super overwhelming. So having like real people in my own community that I could connect with and check in with and learn from was extremely valuable. I did do a lot of yoga while I was pregnant. My baby taught tons of yoga classes with me, which I loved. One of my jobs at the time was teaching at a school. And so teaching really little kids. They were about 4 or 5 years old. And they got to see my belly growing the whole time. They're like, oh, there's a baby in there. But just teaching them through that time was so much fun. And, you know, I mean, my baby's pretty standard. She gets fussy for sure. But I think that some of the yoga soaked in, and she likes the mantras when I play them. And just having that exposure when you're in the womb and when you're in kindergarten, I think is extremely valuable. So I do love that that was part of my pregnancy. I also co-hosted a yoga retreat while I was 6 months pregnant, and that was in Mexico. And that was amazing. I know she loved being there. We were by the ocean, and you know, she's a little mermaid baby. It was a mermaid full moon yoga retreat, which we have another one coming up in February of 2023. So that's definitely been a really fun thing during my pregnancy. Not only did we do the retreat, but we also did quite a few mermaid yoga workshops. And those were classes just by the pool, doing different water healing meditations, yoga in the water. So that was so fun. And I think just connecting with the element of water through my pregnancy, she's in the womb, in the water, and hydration is so important during pregnancy. You have to really drink a lot of water. So the water element and that goddess energy of La Sirene was also very, very present through that second trimester and into the third trimester. I also taught a series of prenatal yoga classes on Zoom, which was really fun because it was for some expecting mamas in different cities. And if you're currently expecting and you want to see those recordings, just send me a note via email or on Instagram. I'd be happy to share them. It's only myself and the recordings, and then I would turn it off and we would be able to chat and have a little community. But those were some classes where I shared not only like yoga exercises, but also some of the meditations that I had been practicing and some of the mantras. And, you know, it's always like my honor to be able to share these kinds of things and for those recordings to still be used by other folks who are expecting now. So physically, things went well. I think the biggest challenge for me physically was sort of towards the end, around 7 months. I had some teeth issues. Pregnancy saps your teeth and gums of a lot of nutrition, so that wasn't great. I had to do like some medicated mouthwash and get a deep cleaning, which was pretty painful. But otherwise, I was very, very fortunate to physically have a comfortable pregnancy. And I felt really prepared going into my last couple days. I did all the things. I was doing acupuncture to stimulate labor. I ate a whole pineapple the day she was born. I did the mile circuit. Lots of sex. Was using borage oil, which I think helped ultimately for her really fast delivery. Was doing herbal steam sessions. And again, just really tuning in mentally so that I could go through what I was planning, which was a natural, physiological, unmedicated birth at a birth center. So as we approached the due date, I started to have pre-labor contractions, which to me was a surprise. I didn't know that that would happen to me, but they were pretty strong. Every 6 to 10 minutes for about 10 days, So every day I was like, is today the day? And then at night they would get a little worse, so it was hard to sleep. When my actual labor started, I was like, oh, that was nothing, those pre-labor contractions. But they were definitely more than the Braxton Hicks contractions, so it was some mid-level of contractions that I had been experiencing. But it was all just practice. So when the actual day came, right around midnight, I started to feel a lot stronger contractions, and so I wanted my husband to be able to sleep because I knew he would have to do a lot for me the next day. So I went over onto the couch and stayed there till about 4 a.m. and then I woke him up. I was like, you have to help me time these contractions because they were getting pretty intense and they were coming faster about every 5 minutes. So we alerted the midwives and my doula, and then around 7 a.m. someone came to my house. One of the midwives came to my house to check out the situation. Before she came, I was able to do my practice and really tune in to this birthday experience. So I made a hot bath and I got in and listened to some mantras to help with ease and flow. I cast a circle, calling in all the directions and the protective elements, and just took time to tune in and get centered. I also called up my own yoga teacher on the phone, Krishnakar, who I've spoken about on this podcast before, and she was on baby watch, so she knew that it was time, and we chanted together some mantras for probably about 10, 15 minutes, and then I was like, okay, I gotta go. You keep chanting. I need to go focus now. And, I really did truly feel protected and surrounded through that whole day. And the midwife came by and checked out the cervical dilation situation. She was like, okay, you're almost 6 centimeters dilated. We should head to the birth center. That was a bit of an adventure. Luckily, I live very close by, but getting in the car during active labor is not something that I enjoyed very much. Of course, there was like road construction that popped up too. It's just like, oh my God. I do see for sure why people choose home births because then you don't have to move around to go anywhere. But we got there and I took a shower. I got into a birthing tub. I think at the time I was like, maybe this baby's coming right now. But she didn't. It took many, many more hours after that. And spoiler alert, she was not born in a tub, even though that had been part of my ultimate vision for her birth. And anyway, when I did get into the tub for the first time, it was nice. I did a tapping exercise, EFT, where you go through and tap at different points on the body to get the nervous system just activated and in alignment. That was really good. And, it was just kind of easing into it. It was getting intense, but I asked the midwife who had checked me in the morning, it's going to get a lot more intense than this. She was like, oh yes, get ready. So I was kind of pacing myself, kind of preparing. I was able to eat and drink a little. I remember having a miso soup and one of those like peanut butter or almond butter packets. So, there was some nutrition happening along the way. And then I'd say around noon or so, they were like, okay, you're gonna need to do some work to get this baby down more. You can't just like hang out in the tub. I'm like, all right. So I walked around the garden, walked around the birth center. They have these sort of like a super long scarf that hangs from the beams of the ceiling. And I was hanging on that for a little while to have gravity help bring her down. Just doing a whole host of activities and exercises. There was some different yoga balls and a peanut ball that you can put between your knees to lay on the side and get the baby down lower, get the cervix more open. I remember taking some herbal tonics at certain points and also did some steam, vaginal steam, where you sit over a pot of herbs that are hot. So all of these things were, just piling up on top of each other and working together to get this baby down and out. At a certain point, when it got to be later in the day, maybe 4:30 or 5 p.m., they were like, okay, baby daddy and husband, you two should go have some privacy, do some like nipple stimulation and things that will help to release oxytocin, which is something that also helps labor progress, which we learned about in a documentary called Orgasmic Birth that we watched during the birth class. And it was earlier in the day. I was like, so when do the orgasms start? I'm ready for that. They were like, yeah, well, you know, hopefully it happens. Wouldn't say that that was part of my birth experience, but, you know, it was nice. We had some fun. There were some definitely moments of laughter and pleasure. And my mom was there. My dad was there for a lot of it. My doula was amazing. And my husband, of course. So it was definitely a team effort of folks just surrounding and supporting me. I remember earlier in the day, speaking of energy and protection, my midwife came in while I was still in the first birth tub, or the only birth tub I went in, and she kind of walked away quickly. And later on, weeks later, after the baby was born, she brought that up and she said, you know, I don't know what you believe, and I don't always say this to people. I don't really see things like this often, but when I first walked into the room, there was this spiritual entity. It had the presence of like an older black woman just sort of floating over you and gave off this energy of protection. And so I left the room to give you all some time together. And I thought that was very magical. And I will say that I felt it, you know, even though it was intense. And at a certain time I was like, can we take a break and try this again tomorrow? They were like, no, you got this. You're the only one who in this whole place who can push this baby out, you know? So I was going through it, but I never felt afraid. And I know that sometimes in birth, I've heard this for sure. People are like, oh, I really felt like I was at a crossroads, you know, between life and death, and got the baby out. Thankfully, I didn't feel that. I felt like everything will be fine throughout the whole process, because of this strong sort of spiritual web and network that everyone was contributing to. So around 5:30, 5:45 p.m., I was like, I want to go back in the birth tub. And they were like, we don't recommend that. And that was kind of the turning point, because they were like, okay, you're pretty much fully dilated, but you also have a little bit of a fever, because it had just been a long day. It was a hot day. I was working super hard. So because I had a little bit of a fever, they did not recommend me going back into hot water, because one, it would be warm, and two, it would relax me at least a little bit. And so that could contribute to a longer labor. It had already been like 17 hours at this point of active labor. So, you know, they were like, if you really want to, you can, but we don't recommend it. Instead, you should try and push the baby out. You're pretty much ready. We're going to teach you how. Because they really don't teach you how before. It was like, you know, kind of hold your breath and bear down and like push in this way. And I also had to like flip my pelvis a bit, like a very defined, like doing a cat cow, but doing the cow position, flipping my pelvis forward to get her little head to kind of scoot over the cervical lip or edge. So there's definitely yoga involved in the actual physical process of pushing her out. And so we practiced a few times. I was laying on a bed, practiced a couple times, and then they were like, okay, you should come over to this birthing stool, which was like this low to the ground sort of stool that you squat on. And they were like, gravity's going to help get her down. So I was like, okay, all right, let's just do this. It was interesting too, because there are some videos of me at the time. So even though I felt like, whoa, what the heck is going on? Like, where am I? We're in this birth vortex. In the videos that I watched later, I was very like alert and composed and calm and just having a conversation and understanding, okay, I'm agreeing to this plan. Let's push her out. So that was interesting, because my experience of myself at the time was definitely different than what I saw on the video. I just kept repeating the mantra, everything is temporary, which is something I learned in the group therapy that I mentioned earlier. It was one of the pieces of advice that our therapist gave for when labor gets hard and when it feels endless and when you feel like, oh my God, am I strong enough? Can I do this? You know, just keep reminding yourself everything is temporary. And for literally 9 minutes on a birthing stool, I pushed a couple times, and on the third push, she was out completely. So it was very fast. I would say actually a little too fast for me. I mean, you know, these things happen and babies come out how they come out. But I did experience a lot of tearing and had to get a lot of stitches. So that kind of led to a much more difficult postpartum recovery than what I was expecting, something that I'm still continuing to heal from just over 2 months later. So, you know, it was no joke. But this baby was also very long and had really strong legs. So I think it was all the steam and oils, me being on the birthing stool, and her having a lot of power just made her come out so fast, like within 1 minute. So there's a birth report and it's, you know, the birth of the head, the first breath, the first cry, all of these things happened within the same minute. So it was really, really fast. And I think I was kind of shocked and thrown off by that because I had watched lots of birth videos where it's much more slow and controlled and like the head sort of is crowning for a while and then someone's supporting it and then the body comes out like minutes later and then you hold up the baby to your chest and you smile. And so, you know, we still had the holding her up to my chest and smiling, but the actual entry into the world was like she flew out. So, you know, it is what it is. It's happened. Part of my healing and recovery has been just a radical acceptance of how it all played out. You know, it doesn't mean that it was ideal. It doesn't mean that that's what I envisioned, but it does mean that she got here the way she got here and I did it. I pushed her out and she came out. And so I have definitely had to work through some resentment and disappointment because it wasn't the presentation and packaging of this beautiful, calm, meditative birth that I had imagined. Although it was still a beautiful meditative birth, it was just much more intense. We were listening to some yoga mantras at the time, and there was one in particular that my husband and I had joked about well before she was born. We're like, what if this is the song when she's born? And it came on shuffle, basically, on the playlist. He was like, this is it, she's gonna come. And she came during that song. So it was so magical. It was so magical. It was so powerful. You know, how I'm feeling today is definitely very proud and also just knowing that it was intense, and that that's okay. And that it was okay to be basically sad and upset and very much shocked. I think that was the biggest thing. I was like, that was overwhelming and shocking how fast she came out. And so just going through all of that and honoring that my birth was really unique to me, that every story I heard before, every video I saw or any of these things, you know, was helpful to a certain extent for sure. But also I just needed to focus in personally and internally and have the experience that I had. And yeah, that's what happened. The postpartum recovery has been difficult, as I've mentioned. My husband, my mom, or postpartum doulas, just friends and community and family have all stepped up a lot. You know, at first for about 2 weeks, I could barely get out of bed, could barely hold the baby, couldn't do very much of anything. We were nursing, like reclined or laying down side to side. So, you know, even just to sit up and hold her was pretty painful. So there was a lot that I didn't expect, especially because I had gone from like peak physical form, like stretching every day and walking 3 miles and squatting and bending and just doing all of these things physically, to then be able to do almost none of them physically. It was very jarring and difficult for me. And I just had to really surrender and relax into it. So now I'm happy to report that 2 months later, a lot of physical healing has occurred. I still have to do a little bit more in terms of the stitching recovery. There's some things that are not quite healed up yet. And so it was definitely getting me down for a while. I felt disappointed and sad that I couldn't heal faster. But, you know, it's also given me a really, really long pause at home. And, you know, if maybe things had happened differently, I would have been more eager to get out and who knows, you know. So it's just been also extremely nice to be in this postpartum bubble and just get to know my baby and like play with her and rest and joke around and eat and drink tea and relax, relax, relax. So that has been my postpartum journey so far and my birth and pregnancy. I hope you enjoyed the story and thank you so much for listening. I'll be back to close out the episode and of course reach out. My email is sashaislive@gmail.com and you can find me on Instagram @astrosasha. Both of those are written below in the show notes. And I'd love to talk and answer questions or, you know, just chat further. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Sat Nam, and I'll be back. Sat Nam, this is 3-month postpartum Sasha jumping in one more time with a few notes or things that I forgot to mention when I recorded. So one thing that was interesting that not everyone knows about is because we had a birth center birth, we went home that day. Baby was born on her due date just after 6 p.m. and by 10 p.m. we were home in our bed. And then the midwives come by the next day and they came by, I think, on day 3 or 4. So they check on me and the baby a couple times right after the birth. So that's a little different than a lot of folks who might stay in the hospital for a couple days. But I thought it was cool. And we had family also come to stay and help us out so that we could figure out how to deal with ourselves and a new baby. And I was basically in the bed 95% of the day. I would just get up to use the bathroom and go back to bed for like the first 2 weeks. And two other things that I thought of during labor and delivery that I forgot to mention. One is that my doula, who was excellent and had super high stamina because I was in labor all day long, she was right there by my side. She did the rebozo technique, which is basically like a scarf or piece of fabric. This is a Mexican tradition where you put it like around your hips, or someone puts it around your hips and like wiggles it and shakes it very vigorously to help get the baby down lower. That was one of the most just difficult parts of my entire labor that I remember from all the contractions. It was just like, what is happening? Everything was, you know, intense for sure, but that one was so intense. And each time they had me do a different exercise, they were like, okay, just try to do it for 3 contractions. It was like about 15 minutes each time. I was like, oh my God, okay, 3 contractions. I can do this. And the first one would be so intense. And then the second one, I'm like, okay, it's just one more. So I kind of made it through the day with that in mind. And they also did give me some kind of an herbal tonic that was like a labor enhancer. I drank that twice during the day. So those are just two things that I remember happening that I don't think I shared in the original story. But yeah, it was all pretty amazing. You know, having a supernatural birth with nothing but like candles and crystals and people massaging me to help with the pain was definitely very, very present for the whole thing. And even though for many weeks after, I was in my head, like, are there things I could have done differently? Now that I'm past, you know, the bulk of the healing and recovery, there's nothing that I would have changed about how my baby was born. So thanks again for listening. Sat Nam. Sat Nam. So here we are at the end of the episode. Thank you again so much for being here. I just wanted to extend a quick invitation to my next yoga retreat. I will be co-hosting Mermaids in La Luna, and this will be a new moon healing retreat in February of 2023. And it is open to all, so bring yourself, bring your partner, bring a friend. We would love to see you there. I am ready to answer any questions, but basically you can expect daily yoga and meditation, daily ritual practices, lots of swimming. The ocean is just down the street, so you can walk there. Our program has activities and workshops throughout the day, but also free time for you to relax and journal and just connect with yourself or do nothing. So I've got the link in the show notes as well. Have a look. Let me know if you have questions. And again, thank you so much for being here. I hope to have more episodes soon around motherhood and yoga philosophy and taking care of myself as a mom and what that all means and my identity, and all of these things are just a work in progress, literally figuring it out day by day, taking it one day at a time, knowing that everything is temporary. And just like all spiritual teachings, at least as far as I know, have this message of impermanence and everything is temporary and be in the present moment. That is just what I try to focus on and embody every single day. So, sending you love. Thanks for being here. Sat Nam. Until next time. Peace. Bye.